Well, if you're taking notes today, if you know we have been talking about keeping the new year fresh, keeping it fresh, and we talked about how we want fresh food, you want fresh vegetables, you want fresh things, we want a fresh new year. We want to actually walk into this year, and we need to keep it fresh. That means there are some things that we can do that are going to help keep it fresh. And remember, the simple acronym that we've been using is, number one, that you're forgetting those things that are behind. You're also forgiving yourself and others. Walking in forgiveness is vital to keeping your new year fresh. And then last week, we talked about renewing your mind. Renewing your mind with the Word. And I believe the Sunday after Christmas, Reverend Ennis set us up for great success by keeping our eyes on Jesus, right? And going to His Word. And so today, we're going to talk about encouragement. I'm going to call it the Barnabas Principle. The Barnabas Principle. And we're going to talk about encouragement. Let's go before the Father as we approach His Word, because His Word has the ability to change the way we think, the way we act, the way we speak. It has that life-changing ability, the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Working in your heart can change lives. And so we want it to not just change your life, but anybody that you touch, any relationships that you have. We want a spillover effect, all right? So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for those that are watching at home, those that are quarantining for various reasons, and whether contact or whether they tested positive. Father, I thank you that you're keeping people strong, healthy, safe. Father, I thank you that you are strengthening your body wherever they may be. Father, I thank you for just continuing to work in our lives as a church. Lord, we look forward to a fresh year. We're walking in a freshness of your Spirit and of your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. I want to talk to you about how to live the Barnabas Principle, which is encouragement. How do we live the Barnabas Principle? First of all, I think we got to know who Barnabas is. Let's turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. This is when we first get introduced to Barnabas. Now, you may have heard, you know, the missionary stories when you were in Sunday school, and they talked about Paul and Barnabas and the missionary journeys of Paul and Barnabas. And it's interesting because the Barnabas, I think sometimes he gets the short end of the rap. I appreciate the Apostle Paul, don't get me wrong. Responsible of three quarters of the New Testament written under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Paul was a mover and shaker. But I think sometimes we gloss over good old Barnabas. I think we just kind of gloss over him, and we miss some amazing things about this man's life. That's why I'm calling it the Barnabas Principle. If we're keeping the new year fresh, remember, we're forgetting those things that are behind. We are renewing our mind. We are encouraging. The word encourage means to take courage and to bring strength to somebody, to bring hope, to bring help to somebody. In fact, in the Greek language, the word encourage, when you go into it and you find out some of the actual meanings, it actually has to do with parakletos, which is where we get the helper, the Holy Ghost, right? He's our helper, the Holy Spirit is our helper, and Barnabas, his name actually means son of encouragement. Son of encouragement. So let's find out some things about good old Barnabas, all right? So in verse 36, it says, and Joseph, who was named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the disciples' feet. I want you to know something. This guy put his money where his mouth is.
Yeah, he did.
All right? And I also want you to know something about him. He was just, the Bible calls him a man, a good man, full of the Holy Ghost. And his name means son of encouragement. But it didn't say that that was his real name. I want to tell you this. That was his nickname. I want you to think about that just for a second. You know, that was his nickname. You know, when I was growing up, you know, when I was playing T-ball and baseball, there was one kid in my T-ball Little League. His name was Scooter. That was his nickname. Everybody called him Scooter. The reason why they called him Scooter is because he was fast. He would run really, really fast through the bases. And they always called him Scooter, and that was his nickname. I think that when we attach nicknames that are positive to people, it is actually bringing out a character trait that we see in them. And the name Barnabas probably comes from the Aramaic, and it refers perhaps to his exhortation ability, that he had the ability to kind of pull people up. His real name, obviously, was Joseph or Joseph. But the disciples, in essence, called him Mr. Encouragement. That's technically what they called him. If we put it in our English vernacular today, they were like, whenever Barnabas was around, oh, there's Mr. Encouragement. And they didn't mean it sarcastically. This man had a reputation, and we will find out that there were some things about his life and actions that are right there in black and white for us in the book of Acts. Now, I want us to go back just for a little bit in verse 32 of chapter 4. In verse 32 of chapter 4, we're going to see a little bit more working of what's going on. And it says this, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of his things that he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all.
Amen.
Great grace. So now this was an amazing time for the early church. We're talking about the early church where in Acts, we know that early on in Acts chapter 4, they prayed. In fact, if you go back to verse 27, part of the prayer of what the disciples were praying after they were released, being reprimanded for teaching in the name of Jesus. Verse 31 says, and when they prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. I want you to know that they had this uncharacteristic strength that had come to them after they had been persecuted. This is the early church, folks. This is the early days of the church. Barnabas is right in there. He's right in that mix. He comes from Cyprus. He's a Cypriot. That's how you say that. If you come from the island of Cyprus, you are a Cypriot. And he was a Jew coming from Cyprus, but he believed in the Lord Jesus. And he had hooked himself up. In fact, most church historians believe that Barnabas was part of the 72 that were sent out by the Lord Jesus Christ himself to go and to heal the sick and to raise the dead and to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And so he's been around Jesus. He was not one of the 12, but he has been a part of what God has been doing from the very get-go. He probably has been in, he was probably at the ascension. Come on, people. Barnabas has been around. He was at the ascension most likely. He was most likely in the upper room when the Holy Ghost came. This man had been raised up in these things. And he had seen what God had done. He saw them. He saw the faithfulness of God.
He
saw with great power, verse 33, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord. And great grace was upon them all. And then as we read, now he's commended. Now right after that, we see somebody else tried to get in on the act. In Acts chapter 5, we see the whole story of Ananias and Sapphira, who actually lied to the Holy Spirit and acted like they were something that they weren't. But we see Barnabas is the real deal. He's commended because he said, having land, verse 37, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet.
Yeah.
This man was genuine.
Yeah.
He's genuine. And I think sometimes, again, I think we're not always telling the full story, or really taking the time to understand the full story when it comes to Barnabas. You know, through where the context of how this all worked. I just love the fact that that's the kind of guy that he was. And then we see him mentioned again in Acts chapter 9. So go ahead and turn over to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. We're going to learn some things about the Barnabas principle. Okay? About the Barnabas principle and how we can apply that to our life. Encouragement is so vital if we're going to have a fresh year. Encouragement. Encouragement. And I love what happens. Now, this is after the Apostle Paul's conversion. And in verse 27, but Barnabas took him, this is the Apostle Paul, and brought him to the apostles. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus.
Come on.
And so he was with him at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. Listen, here's what I want you to get about this. Not only did Barnabas live generously, do you hear me? He was genuine, and he was generous. But he was a risk taker. Now think about this just for a second. He was a potential finder. He found potential. And when verse, just kind of go up to the verse right ahead, and it said, and when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. This is after the Apostle Paul's conversion. Barnabas takes the time to get to know him.
Yeah.
And says, wait a second, guys.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Can you imagine if he hadn't done that? Church, family, I want you to see the importance that this man and God working in his heart played in the life of the Apostle Paul. Because now the Apostle Paul gets saved, he's preaching, and the only one who believes him is Barnabas. And so Barnabas brings him. Barnabas has to kind of shield him, if you will, and say, wait a second, guys. He's the real deal. And Barnabas is not one of the 12. I want you to see this gift of encouragement exuded from his very being. He was the real deal. He was a genuine person. He was a generous person. Come on, I hope you see this. I hope you see this. And he was the kind of person who not only gave of his time, his talent, and his treasure. We find out that he had to spend his own money sometimes to go and do the assignments the apostles would ask him to do.
Well,
he was a go-to guy. He was genuine. He was generous. And he was a go-to guy. He was a go-to guy. When they needed something, they would call on him. And he showed up. He showed up. Come on, people. That's encouragement. That's living a life of encouragement. That's the Barnabas principle. He was a go-to guy. In fact, let me prove it to you. In Acts chapter 11, verse 22. Acts chapter 11, verse 22. We see Barnabas again in a whole different light. When I was doing this study, I was like, oh my goodness. This is like amazing just to see God working in this man's life. And in verse 22, it says, then the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. Verse 24 says, he was a good man.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
He's genuine. He's generous. He's a go-to guy. He's a good man. He's full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. This guy doesn't stop. This guy is like the Energizer Bunny. And yet, he's kind of hidden in the shadows in the book of Acts. We don't always see these things jump out at us until somebody points us out. Says, wait, okay, this guy lived. He lived like that. He lived always looking forward. He was a potential finder, not a fault finder. He was a potential finder. Listen, you know, years ago I was sitting in a Rhema class, and Brother Reggie Knowles, who was one of our teachers at Rhema for many years, he was a former cop. He could be edgy sometimes. Good guy. I loved him, and he'd just be very blunt. I mean, New Yorkers would love this guy. He was not a New Yorker, but Reggie Knowles, he would just kind of like, okay, you're just going to out with it and tell it like it is. And one day he was talking about fault finding and how it's so easy for us to kind of fall into a fault finding mode. We as human beings, we are so quick to, we don't see it in ourselves. Remember when Jesus said, take care of the speck in your own eye before you take care of the log in your brother's, right? Mm-hmm. It's easy to jump into fault finding. But it's interesting. Reggie Knowles said this, and it stuck with me for years. He said, you know, we all see what we want to see. But look for what you want to see. And what he meant by that was, are you looking for the good? Are you looking for the positive? I believe that Barnabas was one of those kind of people. He was a potential seer. He looked for what he wanted to see. He looked for the good. Look beyond what you see. He had a deep belief in people's potential. When Paul came to Jerusalem, he was the one who had to, as I said before, he had to tell the disciples, he's okay. He's the real deal. He had to vouch for the Apostle Paul. He was a risk taker. He was a risk taker. He was all in. You know, this day and age, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't hear a lot of preaching and teaching about I'm sold out for Jesus. I believe me, I love the teaching on grace. I love the fact that that there is such an emphasis on the grace of God, the mercy of God, that God loves you just the way you are, but that he loves you so much he doesn't want you to stay the way you are.
That's right.
You know, I love that. But you know, one of the things that really got a hold of my heart as a young 15-year-old was being all in, just as I am, without one plea. That kind of turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in light of his glory and grace. In other words, being all in. Don't look back. Being all in. Barnabas was an all-in kind of person. He was a risk taker. Live looking for. You know, the thing that also was interesting in Acts chapter 11, it says, and that I like to put it this way, that he's a grace finder. He's a grace finder. He saw evidence of the grace of God. Look at that verse again in Acts chapter 11, when it said that after they sent him down to Antioch, as far as Antioch, and when he came, he had seen the grace of God, he was glad. He was a grace finder. He was looking for God working in people's lives.
Thank you, Jesus.
I mean, we're talking, he saw the grace of God in a murderer.
Yeah. Yeah.
This guy saw potential in people rather than fault in people. He saw potential. He was also a standard bearer. Think about this. In verse Right there it says he was a good man, verse 24, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. A good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Pastor, how do I take the Barnabas principle and live it in my life? I want to just challenge you to be a people promoter. He looked for opportunities to promote others. We know that even with his disagreement with the Apostle Paul, he never broke relationship with the Apostle Paul. He had a disagreement over his nephew, John Mark. The Apostle Paul was done with John Mark. He was done with him. Send him home. He's not of any value to us on this missionary journey. And what was Barnabas doing? Advocating. And they had a disagreement. So much so that Barnabas went his own way. But later on, we see where Paul actually says, oh, and send Mark.
Yeah. He's profitable to me.
He's profitable to
me. Yes, sir.
There was redemption. And I can't help but think that maybe, just maybe, and the scripture doesn't tell us, it says that obviously Paul and Barnabas didn't finally break their relationship. They just stopped working together for a little while. But then you see in the end where the Apostle Paul speaks fondly of Barnabas and speaks fondly of John Mark. You just can't help but think that perhaps, just perhaps, that the Apostle Paul had to figure out that he was wrong about John Mark. And once again, Barnabas pulling somebody up, advocating for somebody else, saying, listen, he's good. I think I can work with this guy. Listen, at first you see, I think there's some good stuff in here that you... He didn't avoid conflict.
You're armed and dangerous today.
He did not avoid conflict. It says in Acts chapter 15 and verse 2, they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. They had a sharp disagreement. But in Acts chapter 15, it looks like Paul was ready to give Barnabas a second chance. Acts chapter 15... He says, and Mark, bring them too. Now, early on, we see that it's Barnabas and Saul. Later on, we see it's Paul and Barnabas. But they worked together. He was a behind-the-scenes mover and shaker. You know, the movement, you know, just watching Barnabas move through the book of Acts, and you see he was a leader maker. He spotted and sought out potential. In fact, John Mark is credited with the Gospel of Mark. Come on, people. Barnabas is the advocate for the underdog. He sees the grace of God working in somebody and he pulls them up. How do you apply that to your life? Don't be a fault finder. Be a potential finder. Be a grace finder. What's God doing in that person? How can I see them come up? What can I do? Barnabas was a biblical prototype of a coach. He was a player coach. That's why he could raise up somebody like the Apostle Paul. Listen, the Apostle Paul had an experience with God, but he still needed some training. I believe that training came from Barnabas. I think we're going to find out when we check the video out in heaven. I think we're going to find that out. And, he was that kind of person. So, Pastor Doug, how do I become that kind of person? Listen, if you were created in the image of Christ, then what God has done on the inside will come out. If you will keep your eyes, as Reverend Ennis said several weeks back, almost a month ago, keep your eyes on Jesus. Stay full of the Word of God. You will be able to pull from that same spirit that Barnabas pulled from. And you can live generously. You can live and be a go-to person. Be a go-to person in the kingdom of God. When somebody says to you, You know, and I'm not just talking about church tasks, but be a go-to person for the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Spirit says to you, pick up the phone and call that person.
Yeah.
When the Holy Spirit says to you, you need to be praying for somebody. And the name comes up.
Yeah.
Be that go-to person. Be that faithful person that looks for potential in somebody and brings them up. You can apply this to every area of your life, in your family, in your workplace. Who can you pull up? Instead of that coworker that is annoying you because you don't feel like they're pulling their weight, pull alongside with them. Find out what's going on. Be that encouragement. Find out, look for the good and then pull them up. Speak the good over them and pull them up. If you need to, you might need to take a risk and go to bat for them. And say, no. I think they're doing good here. I'm not talking about making stuff up either. I'm talking about pulling people up, pulling their potential out of them and saying, no, I know you can do this. I know you can do this. We need encouragers in the body of Christ like never before. Right now, churches are under assault. They're under attack. They're under attack in many ways. I'm using a very strong word, under attack. But they are. The enemy has come in. Fear has gripped so many. People are not going to church like they used to. And I'm not casting any dispersion on anybody who's watching at home. I'm saying that by and large, being even connected to a church, connecting online, is not even happening. We're seeing in many, many cases, church growth declining over the entire, really the entire Western world, and even for that matter, in other parts of the country, where this pandemic has actually, has thwarted so much of what the work of God has been needing to accomplish. Now, it's not going to win. We know that. But we need encouragers. We need people to come alongside. Pastor, what can I do for you? Call up the missionary. Well, how can I pray for you? Tom and Irena Liliendahl have not been home for over 2 years.
Yeah.
They have family here.
Yeah.
They have grandkids here that they haven't seen in 2 years. I'm saying those things not to put guilt on any of us. I'm saying those things that we're going to be, if we're going to be like Barnabas and live this Barnabas principle, then we're encouragers. We're encouragers. We look for the good even in the middle of difficult situations, and we pull people up. We pull people up and we say, listen, how can I help you? How can I help you? Some people have a natural gift of helps. Other people are just, they don't know to help unless somebody asks them. But be an encourager. Be a Barnabas wherever you go. Look for that underdog that you can pull up. You say, Pastor Doug, I'm discouraged myself. I have found that one of the best ways to get encouraged is to encourage somebody else.
Yep.
Years ago, somebody said to me, if you need a friend, go be a friend. If you need a friend, go be a friend. You know, next week I'm going to talk about how to encourage yourself. And you say, well, why did you do it backwards? I don't know. That's the way God gave it to me.
Yep.
Some people say, I want to start with myself first. How do I encourage myself? No, I'm telling you what a Barnabas is on the external. How did he get there? Next week, we're going to talk about how do you encourage yourself in the Lord when you feel like everything's going down around you? How do you encourage yourself in the Lord? We're going to talk about that. I believe there's some practical things that we can learn. I want to encourage you to go through every scripture in the book of Acts regarding Barnabas. We also know that Barnabas is mentioned in some of the other epistles as well. Barnabas is this cool dude that has been in the shadows. And in my mind, I always knew who he was, but when I went to go do this study, it just kind of brought new light. New light to say, wow, I want to live a Barnabas life. I want to live a Barnabas life. I may never preach to any more, you know, than the biggest crowd I've ever preached at, which I don't even know what that is. But if I'm known as being somebody of encouragement, somebody who can pull somebody else up, somebody who can push somebody else forward, then that's what I want to be known for. I want to be a Barnabas. How about you? You want to be a Barnabas? A Barnabas looks for places where he can bring courage, strength, help, hope to people around him, to pull them up, to say, no, I think this guy can do this, instead of all the naysayers. Don't be a fault finder. Be a grace finder. The grace of God's working in his life. I believe that's what he did when he found Paul. I believe he saw the grace of God, heard Paul's story. It rang true to his spirit. And he's like, no, this guy's real. We don't need to be afraid of him. Listen, Peter, John, this guy's the real deal. He met him. We traveled with him. He sent us out. We laid hands on the sick. And we know the power of God. This guy has had an experience with God. I can imagine him saying that and them going, okay, let's hear it. Everybody watch yourself. This is real stuff. What about when you minister to that broken person that you find out had a call of God on their life years ago, but it seems like they went off on the rails? How do you pull them back? How do you restore them? How do you believe the best to bring them up, to bring them back? What are we doing for the prodigals that God has been speaking to us for years at this church? Prodigals are coming home. When they come in and they still smell like the pigs. They might even talk like the pigs. Are we fault finding? Are we looking for the grace of God working in them? Are we pulling them up? Are we shutting the door in their face? I think that the church has done that many, many times. God's given us an opportunity right now to keep being those Barnabas. Go out, find them. Find the ones who haven't been to church in years and find out that maybe they were hurt by church. You know what I say to people when they say that to me? I say, so have I. And then I smile. I do. It's true. I say, no, I have too. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you've been hurt by people. Yeah. Period. You've been hurt by Christians and non-Christians. But you know what? Forgetting the past, forgiving myself and others, renewing my mind, encouraging those around me. And as we've been talking about, speaking God's word and holding on to hope. That's how I'm going to keep my new year fresh. I believe this year, it may look cold and dark all around you, but I believe this year, and I believe by the Spirit of God, this year, if you'll tap into the things of God, the presence of God, the Word of God, you will have a year like none other. And it's going to be an adventure. I start looking through Barnabas's life, and I say to myself, this guy probably had a pretty exciting life. Think about who he gets to be around. He's around the 12. He has access to the 12. Think about that just for a second. The church, early church, he had access to the leaders that God had put in place. You don't just go waltzing into the leader's office unless you have a relationship. He had relationship. He was a man of humility. He understood that he was there to serve the kingdom, and he was willing to risk it. He was willing to be bold. He had no problem standing up to Paul and saying, wait, I think you blew it on John Mark. Risk taker. I don't know. I'm excited about this.
I
really believe there's so much meat, so much depth here. The Barnabas principle, living just like him, live with that generous attitude. Listen, this guy didn't have to. Nobody said you had to go out. Nobody was you know, making every person sign a pledge in order to be a part of this early church. You have to go sell your field and give it. No, he did it voluntarily. It was Ananias and Sapphira that did it to kind of look good. Different motivation. He did it because he was like, I believe in this thing. I'm all in. And he went for it. Sold his field, gave the money to the apostles, said, hey, there's a need here. We got widows that are being neglected. We need to feed some people. We need to do some things. And he was willing to put his money where his mouth was. Listen, church family, God is faithful. He's faithful to you. He is faithful to operate in your life, and you can live this Barnabas principle. That when God calls on you to do something, you'll step up, you'll be there, you'll be ready. When he calls you to step out and do something different, you'll be ready. When he calls you to be bold to that employer in that workplace, you'll be ready. Your mouth will open and you'll have the words. And God will honor that kind of encouragement, that kind of boldness. Because let me tell you, there is strength. The word encourage means to take courage, gather strength, and offer help and hope to others around you. That's living the Barnabas principle. Next week, we're going to talk about how do you encourage yourself when you don't feel so good. I think that God has answers for all of it. We just got to find them right here, and he's going to speak to you. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you have the ability to bring encouragement to each one of us so that we would be those encouragers. We would be those that seek out the best in others. We would be grace finders, not fault finders. We would be those that pull people up, those that find people and bring them to places where you can use them because you have assignments. You have assignments. You have things for people to do. And Father, I thank you. You've put us in different relationships and different spheres of influence that we can speak to those around us. We can speak to those that seem far away from God and bring them near. Father, help us, Father, to live this Barnabas principle. God, that we can be those encouragers, that we can be those that just offer hope to people when it seems like there's no hope. That we can be the risk taker. We can be all in and be sold out to Jesus. Father, I pray that you would bring strength to your people today. Lord, that they would operate in this principle of being like Barnabas. Father, who was just being like you, looking for the best in others, looking to pull people up, and looking to just be such a helper. Lord, you've sent the Holy Spirit to us to be a helper. Let us now be the helpers to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're here today or you're watching online and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to get to know him. It's real simple. You just believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, that he was raised from the dead, and that God wants to give you that forgiveness, and you receive it by faith. You say, Lord, I receive your forgiveness, and I make Jesus my Lord. So I'm going to pray a simple prayer. I'm going to ask those that are here in this audience to go ahead and pray it out loud. If you're there at home and you're watching, I want you to pray this out loud. Mean it with your heart. Just say, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus.
I believe
in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins. I receive his forgiveness by faith, and I call Jesus my Lord and my Savior from this day forth in Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you prayed that prayer and it was an act of rededication, I want to know about it. I want you to send us a message. I'd like to send you some books. I'd like to get in contact with you, help you find a good church if you're not anywhere near us. And we want to be able to be a strength to you. If you're a regular and you watch online and you have not been able to connect with us in person for some time, and you need some ministry of some sort, you need somebody to pray for you, talk to, please message us. We want to be able to minister to you and help you through these times and pray for you. Thank you so much for watching online. Please share this broadcast with friends and those that are on your Facebook feed, and let people know that we're here. We're at 27 Radio Circle in Mount Kisco, New York. We're here every Sunday morning at 10:45. We're also online 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Facebook Live, and that's our Foundations Live course, where we talk about various basics of Christianity, basics of faith. Right now we've been talking about effective prayer, keys to an effective prayer life, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you. Amen. Let's stand together and let's speak over ourselves and over our church this particular verse out of Psalm 121, verse 7 and 8. And the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. Thank you again for watching. Thank you for coming. And we'll see you next week.